Hello and welcome to Advanced Placement United States History Podcast, episode number 32. This episode will focus on the Red Scare of 1919 to 1920. The communist triumph in Russia in 1917 and the subsequent withdrawal of that country from the Allied effort in World War I caused many native-born Americans to fear a socialist or communist takeover in the United States. During the war, immigrant workers were no longer hunkies, dagos, and Polacks. They were members of the community fighting for democracy. Wages were high and overtime was common. The immigrant factory workers expected to benefit from this new attitude after the war, but after the war, conditions returned to the way they were before, and many workers went on strike. By the end of 1919, the most strike-bound year in U.S. history, about 4 million workers had participated in more than 3,000 strikes. Business leaders used the general fear of communism to break the strikes and the workers' desire to organize. Business leaders claimed that the point at issue was not unionism as such, but whether the American government would be supported and the American institutions upheld. A typical comment is illustrated by Elbert Gary, chairman of the board of U.S. Steel. In 1919, Gary claimed that the only outcome of a victory for unionism would be Sovietism in the U.S. and, quote, a forcible distribution of property. The total membership in all socialist and communist organizations in the U.S. during this time was between 90,000 and 120,000, less than half of 1% of the population. In April and June 1919, bombs were mailed to prominent individuals and several officials had their offices bombed. No one, except the thrower of one bomb, was killed. The bombings were not part of a communist plot to overthrow the government. They were the work of a few dangerous individuals. But most Americans did not differentiate among radicals. They grew more frightened every day, and they saw red on everything they feared or disliked. Woodrow Wilson's attorney general was A. Mitchell Palmer, and he saw this fear of communists as a method of gaining political power and fame, and perhaps even getting the 1920 Democratic presidential nomination. President Wilson's stroke had left the nation devoid of leadership, and Palmer saw an opportunity to fill the vacuum. Beginning in November 1919, Palmer ordered the FBI to conduct a series of raids against radical groups. In December, Palmer cooperated with the Labor Department in deporting 249 aliens to Russia, most of whom had committed no offense and were not communists. A nationwide raid on January 1, 1920 led to the arrest of about 6,000 people. The raids revealed no evidence of a communist conspiracy. Nevertheless, few Americans protested the unconstitutional tactics of Palmer. Palmer overreached himself when he predicted that a revolution would take place on May Day, 1920. When the outbreak failed to materialize, the public gradually began to tire of his unfounded alarms. In addition, unionism had been soundly defeated by 1920, membership declined by about 1.7 million over the next decade, and business propaganda against the Reds declined sharply. Immigration restriction and the Ku Klux Klan took over where the Red Scare ended. That's all for this episode of APUS History Podcast. Please join us next time for episode 33, American National Politics During the 1920s.